The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
She's an Olympic champion. He is a two-time Olympian. Together, they're figure skating royalty. Turned NBC commentators. And now, they're pop culture icons. But more importantly, they're best friends. NBC presents Tara and Johnny. Here's Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Hi, guys.
Oh, wow, that was bad.
That was terrible.
It doesn't matter. I mean, people know we're saying hi to them. We're here. Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. I mean, a lot's been going on. I want to talk to you about something that happened recently. I mean, you know I'm single and lonely, right?
You're not lonely, but you're single. I'm telling you, you're not lonely.
I'm never alone. I'm always with myself. So that's kind of where I'm at. And I feel like, just to be completely honest with you all, it's been 3 years since I've thrown down with someone, and that I've loved somebody, and that, you know, somebody just told me that I was real cool and special that wasn't my mom or Tara. So like, I'm just really trying to find ways
to get out there. Somebody, you're trying to get out there.
I'm trying my best. And I've got two fun asides with this as our, you know, topic about me being single and lonely. And, you know,
go
it is
it.
Inspiring.
Tell me,
to watch.
Are you back on one of the dating websites?
Yeah, it's good of you to predict that. I am back on one.
I know it. Which one?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I'm watching a lot of people like Jackie, you know, she always has guys sniffing around. You have this Todd cap that's going to, you know, buy the cow. and my mother and father have a great relationship still. Thank God for them. But, you know, I'm with myself a lot. And, you know, I'm trying to explore all the ways that people date. And one of them a while ago was going on all the social apps.
You were on all of them.
I was on literally all of them, except for JDate, which is the Jewish dating one, kind of like Match.com, because it was like $1 million a month. And I'm like, no, I'm not paying for it.
Right. And then you dropped out of all of them, right?
Then I dropped out of all of them.
Okay.
JSwipe, Tinder, Bumble, all of them. And Raya. Raya is one that is kind of interesting because it only allows, like, there's a board that says you're allowed or not allowed to be on that dating app. And it's basically artistic people, producers, camera people, sound mixers, artists, actors, singers. I mean, I've seen a lot of...
So entertainment, you know, industry.
Yeah, entertainment people, artistic people are on there. And you have to
Why
apply...
is it called Reyes? I don't get it.
Raya, like R-A-Y-A. And you have to be approved by this
Where
board.
Where did that name really... come from? It's horrible.
I don't know. It's a Southern California company. I mean, okay. You tell me. So I don't know. But anyway, it's all these people, and I was approved, thankfully, for this app not once but twice. And, you know, I've seen famous people on there that, like, I have seen in stage and screen. I've seen a lot of people that are in the fashion industry. I mean, there's an interesting group of people. But at the end of the day, like, I just foresee that I will end up being either with a hockey player or some sort of businessman, lawyer-y, doctor-y sort of man, just because I don't want another version of myself. But anyway, I'm trying it. It's the only dating app that I'm trying at the moment. But I'm on it, and I'm just so bowled over by how trendy and artistic these people are, because it's not just one of those things that hooks up through Facebook and your picture will pop up and you see, like, who's nearby or who's in your town. It's all over the world, and the pool is quite small because they're so discriminatory about who they allow on the app.
Right.
So it'll be mainly people from L.A., from New York, from London, from Sydney, from Tokyo, or people that live in Paris.
That's a really long distance.
It's a very long distance relationship.
Relationship.
But I almost feel like it's more for networking more than like getting
dating.
Your rocks off. Yeah, dating, one or the other. But something that really turned me off about the other apps is that it seems like just for sex. And I'm not about that life anymore. I mean, I'm in my 30s. I am a responsible adult for the most part. So I'm not into it, but this Raya thing, they're so trendy. So basically you create a profile page and there's a song that goes with your picture slideshow, and you can connect people. You tell them where you work, what you do for a living. I mean, there's all these different ways, but the people are so chic on this thing. I've got a picture of my dog on there with like a Hello Kitty hat on.
They have all professional photos.
They have all professional like videos. Like, from a photographer photo. They've got videos.
Todd Kapp needs to make you a video.
Yeah, tell him like the day after the wedding, before I get to the airport, that's what he's going to have to do. He's going to bring my dating profile thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I need something realistic. He did a really good job on your honeymoon or your bachelorette.
I know. Video. Wasn't that cute?
Yeah. I mean, how long, like, did he just film constantly? Did he pull things off your phone?
What he took stuff from like people's iPhones. We had a good camera that we just like shot some stuff, and then he gets home and he spends a few hours and puts it all together and makes that.
Can you ask him how you can swim under the water with a camera?
I think it was a GoPro.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Just because it really...
But I can ask him just in case it was, you know, some magical camera he has.
It really bewildered me.
I could just see you watching it three times with your, like, head cocked a little bit with your eye closed, your right eye closed. Sometimes you do that.
I just really, like, didn't even know if it was real.
The best part was Kelly going down in the flamingo float.
Oh, my gosh.
Down the mini slide. Kelly's moving here. She's on a road trip as we speak, moving back to L.A.
She's a
nut. My life is going to be changed forever.
You're going to laugh a lot more.
I'm going to laugh. And her little girl, Scarlett, is my goddaughter. So
yeah,
watch this.
Stole your baby name. Sorry, not sorry.
Winter. Scarlett Winter.
Scarlett,
it's such a good
Winter
name.
Kapustashi. It really, really is.
It really is.
Also, Ava is a great name.
I know.
A-V-A.
Johnny really wants Ava.
Ava Kapustashi. So obviously I'm back in the game dating wise. It may keep me from just hitting on poor, unsuspecting straight dudes. But in addition to Rhea, I was at Rite Aid. And I had done all of my shopping, and I was sitting in my car looking at my text messages, and up pulls a blue scooter, somewhat similar to a Vespa, if you know what I'm talking about, like a little motorbike. And he parks right in front of me, and he was very, very handsome. And, you know, he's probably like 12 years old, but whatever. I found him super handsome and he looked age appropriate for me. Mm-hmm. So I watched where he was going. Cut to mommy being full on stalker, just looking for love in all the wrong places. There I sit in the Rite Aid parking lot watching, like literally watching like a hawk, this guy in my rearview mirror walk into Rite Aid.
Oh, my God. So did you go in?
It wasn't so much that I went in. It's I commentated it to myself. And out loud, before I went in, just to make it make sense as though I wasn't stalking the guy, I said to no one in particular, I said, I forgot hand sanitizer. And I was sitting in my car alone.
Oh, my God.
So I'm talking to no one. This is how crazy mommy has gotten, just looking for someone to hug her and tell her she's special. I stalked a man into Rite Aid. I forgot hand sanitizer. So I'm walking in because I'd just been in there. And as I pass the cashier, so I'm like, wow, I forgot hand sanitizer. Meanwhile, I'm just like watching like a hawk to see where this tall drink of water had gone. So I stalk him all the way to the shaving cream aisle. And then it got
weird. What
do
you do when you get there?
I basically, okay. So I stand there as though I hadn't forgotten hand sanitizer, but I'd forgotten shaving cream.
Right.
You know, for
and
my
you're just
under,
picking the right
undercarriages.
The
so
right
I'm,
kind.
I'm there and I'm holding my waist in. Like, you know how I pose on red carpet and I hold my waist?
Yeah, and then you pout your lips.
I pout my lips and I perch one foot. I pose like that and I sort of stare at the wall of varietals for shaving cream. Pose like that, purse my lips, and just to make sure that he knows that I'm standing there, I do this. I go, like, I'm so perplexed by the amount of choice for shaving creams. Obviously, I need the extra gentle because if I'm going to manscape, it's got to be the extra gentle one so I don't get razor burn. But I didn't need shaving cream. I did need a hand sanitizer. So there I am. I make my noise. I do my pose. And he's not paying any attention to me. He's wearing sort of those, you know, those man shoes, those broken down boat shoes that don't have laces or anything.
Yeah.
They just look like suede slide-ons. Like, golfers like to wear them when they drive their cars, and they just look like they stink. He was wearing a pair of those. So I don't know if it was his scooter or he stole it because he wasn't wearing a leather jacket or anything. But I guess it was a scooter anyway. I need hand sanitizer. So, yeah, it didn't turn into anything. I know this is a great story now, but it didn't turn into anything. Like, he did look my way, but he didn't smile or even give, like, a glimmer of,
right.
of any sort of, you know,
right.
interest in stalking me back. So I went and paid for – I bought three hand sanitizers. And I left, and that's sort of the end of my story.
But, so nothing happened.
Nothing happened, as much as I hoped it did. So, I mean, I have no game.
I mean,
I'm
you
on
could still be at the
Rite
Aid. You know, you should go there more often.
You know, this is, I think, why I hold court in hotel lobbies when I'm wasted.
Right.
Is that I just think something's going to happen. Something like out of a storybook. Richard
it does,
Gere,
though.
Pretty
like,
woman.
So, Johnny, you
for
know.
For you.
You know, but, like, I, how did I said this all the time. I'm like, guys, like, this is not going to happen for me the way that, like, I would want it to happen. Like, I've been, you know me, I was, like, definitely dating. Like, I was very open to going on dates and meeting people.
I mean, no need to talk about yourself as though you're a hooer.
No,
but...
no. Just going no, to
said,
dinner.
Guys, I was dating.
No, you know what I mean? Like, I just was
I
never
know.
Afraid to, like, go on dates
Date.
And whatever. And if so, and I also had the problem that if anyone asked me, I just couldn't say no. So that was terrible at times. But,
Yeah, remember Barry?
Oh, God. Okay. Moving on. So anyway, I just remember those Johnny. I just remember those times and I'm just like, "Oh my God, like it's really tough because like I was constantly going on dates and just remember thinking like it's never going to happen for me in like that right way. Like I'm probably going to be at a bar or I'm going to, like, you know what I mean? It's just going to be, like,
gonna
a
get
setup.
Up.
Like, it's just. But I always, like, I totally doubted that that would happen. And I think, like, when people would be like, oh, happens when you're not thinking about it. It happens when you're not looking. You're kind of like, shut up. Shut up because you don't know my life. And I remember thinking, like, that all the time when people would say that to me, I literally would want to punch them. I'd be like, look, I don't care how it happens, but I'm letting you know that it's never going to happen that way. Like, I just know it. And it did. So I'm telling you, have a little faith and maybe it will happen that way. Because it is, like,
people.
It really did happen when I least expected it. Like, it wasn't on a date that was set up. It wasn't, like, when I went out with friends and someone introduced me to their friend. And it was just completely random that I met him, you know, I presented him an Emmy. So, I mean, that is so random. Like, that doesn't get
so
more
random.
Random than that. Why I'm worried about my neon pee. But
yeah,
anyways,
I mean,
I know it's hard.
It's hard. It is hard. And you know, I'm in the prime of my life and I just want somebody to be able to share it and appreciate me when I'm youngish and prettyish.
It's not, you know, people like talk about like the single life being that great. Like when you're in it, you kind of think it is. But then like you start to remember, like I remember going on dates probably that I said yes to that I shouldn't have and just like sitting there thinking, this is like I'm wasting my life like right now. What am I doing? Like I'm on such the wrong track. Like I remember
watching Gilmore Girls. Right.
I mean, what is this? Like I'm trying, you know, like when you're trying not to yawn, you're trying.
Yeah.
Like those moments are so painful that like I forget. But anyway, just wanted to put you back there.
Yeah. I mean, no,
just wanted to remind you what it's like.
I mean, I live it. I know I'm single and I know how much it sucks sometimes. But, you know, I also am super. I tried to tell my mother this. I was like, you know what? I'm fancy. And also, like, I'm a public figure. And, you know, I'm super honest. And we're both super honest with our public. And we entertain people in a certain way. But there is a sort of when you are entertaining people and you live your life as an entertainer, there is a little bit of a front. And you are a little bit different than you
than
may
you are
be
in
at
real
home.
Life. Yeah.
And, you know, I am, you know, somewhat terrifying to men that I would find attractive when if they saw me on TV.
Right.
And
but not the Johnny that is
right.
sitting
and
at
I mean,
home on a Sunday.
Right. I mean, humans are all about snap judgments. So,
right.
I mean, if somebody thinks I'm terrifying, most likely I'm not going to meet them and have, you know, get knocked up and have a full love story with them.
You'll
you
find
know,
the right
it,
person.
It,
you're,
it does
like,
get hard.
I think you're in the perfect spot. I mean, you went through a tough time. You gave yourself time to heal.
No.
And
now I'm just horny.
Right. You need to move out of fan cabin and move into the city. And you'll be fine.
Fan Kitty?
Is that fan what you're saying? Cabin.
No, I was saying Fan Kitty with a K. It's Fan City. I was trying to make it work. Stop trying to make that happen. Yeah, Fan Cabin. You know, I could move out of Fan Cabin, but I don't need to move. Maybe I'll move to Philadelphia. Who knows? But anyway, there's that. But, you know, in the meantime.
It's because you live, like, not. You need to be in the mix. You need to be in the city. You need to be going on dates. You need Tara by your side as your sidekick.
I can't move to California.
And we will, you know, what if I promised you that we'd find the love of your life in California? How about that?
You can promise that. I mean, I haven't really. I mean, you're a goddess to me, but I don't think you can really, you know.
You never know.
I don't think you know
when I put my mind to something.
I know.
I might spend the next few months just searching for the right person. I don't know how I'd have to find it, but that would be amazing.
I told you I went on that horrible date, and it just completely turned me off of ever going on horrible dates again. So also, I am self-sabotaging a little bit.
Don't worry, Donnie.
So when we come back, we're actually going to talk about Badgers. Be right back.
On Sports World, professional skiing from Aspen, full contact karate from Tokyo, women's pro surfing from Hawaii, and blackjack from Las Vegas, next Sunday.
So, guys, I want to fill you in on something. Sometimes when the start of the podcast happens, I get so excited after the hi, guys, because I feel like I can finally chat with you. Because every week I come in, we put on our headset, and I say, oh, what was this like? And da-da-da-da. And he's like, save it. Can't talk to you. Save it.
Yeah.
So this is like the first moment of Johnny.
We live our friendship on display for all of you, and I make her save it because I don't want to hear the best stories that have happened since, you know, yesterday when we talked last.
Right, and we laugh too hard, and then we get really tired, and then it's just...
But, I mean, how... It's funny because people always ask me how much of our relationship is for show, and the question is always... Are you guys really friends? Do you get that a lot?
I do. I do not like that question. I just stare at them blankly. Like, no, I'm just faking it all. Yeah. I hate him.
Yeah, I have lived my entire life.
I want him in my wedding for you, not me.
Yeah, this is for you people. Johnny's in my wedding because people want it.
No.
No, I get asked all the time, and I like freak out. I'm like, how? Like, of course we're friends. You can't fake that kind of chemistry. We're a match made in heaven. And I say all of those buzzwords to strangers, and they're like, oh yeah, well I guess you guys really are fake friends because I just get so overanimated.
Me too. I get defensive sometimes too, so I'll go on like a long tangent of how and try to prove it. You know, we actually are because. And then afterwards, I was like, oh, I just talked for a very long time to, you know, a stranger about my close friendship with Johnny.
Yeah, to like some friend of a friend that's out at a bar with you guys. And they're like, oh, are you guys actually close? Is she actually cool?
And instead of just saying, yeah, of course, it's like, yeah, you know why? Ask that? This is why. Now you tell me if you think that's not friends, huh? What kind of friend do you have at home?
Someone must not love you. No, but it's such a funny thing because we do, like, there are stories that I will keep from you for the podcast because, you know, they aren't that important. Like, obviously, if I'm turning into Bambi or, you know, something's really important, I'll tell you. But both silly things I like to say for the podcast because I want you to laugh and have a real laugh like you haven't heard it before for the audience.
I like that.
But,
what should we talk about today?
A funny thing is, I want to talk about acting a little bit because now that we're getting this variety program together and we're going to have to do all sorts of things, like, you know, really entertain people and not rely on the skaters to fall down so we can say something. You know,
right.
we're going to have to act. We're going to have to probably sing a little bit. We're going to have to be able.
Johnny,
we're going to have to.
I mean,
we're definitely going to have
sing.
To be able to read. We're going to. Neither can I, but we're going to have to learn. And we're going to have to learn to read. We're going to have to probably learn how to spackle. I think that'll be really important. How to lay drywall and build a house. And definitely acting, though, I think is going to come in heavily on this variety sketch sort of program that we're preparing for the world. And, like, what I know that you had some acting in your life. So let's talk about our acting moments.
Okay. Well, I was so young. So I was when I had my Olympic moment, it was on CBS. And I then had a contract with them. And I did my own, like, skating special for 2 years, which was a lot of fun. I had my own big set. And, like, it was just a big production. And, I mean, this is back in the height of figure skating. And so through my contract, I had, like, I had to make, you know, 8 cameos on, you know, Young and the Restless. Or I had to make a cameo. So I did pretty much every CBS show. Like,
oh,
made these cameos on CBS shows. And I had a good time. Obviously, didn't love it, like, skating. But then when I stopped touring as much, I realized I really did like it. So I would do some things here and there. And I enjoyed it. You've done some acting.
I mean, so obviously we get stuck doing sort of sketchy things sometimes. And, you know, there is an element of acting and presentation to what we do. I mean, we don't really act. We're commentating. We call it like it is. And
no our, acting there.
Yeah. And our friendship, obviously, is not an act. But, you know, you do have to know how to perform and how to turn it on and how to make your eyes glisten, even if, you know, you don't want to or feel like it.
Right.
So there is a sense of acting even in commentary. But Well, I guess it was about 2 years ago now, but I got cast in Zoolander 2, and it was a big deal for me. It was like my first real acting thing, and I had auditioned for things in the past just because, you know, I thought it would be fun to go and try and see what I could do, because there's been all this time of skating that I haven't tried other forms of theater and arts and things like that. And like I had a bit of an acting coach for a moment to help me memorize scripts and how to really get into it. And it's a really hard thing to do, especially when I'm just being an athlete and being me. I get really caught up on who Johnny Weir is, not who Lance Loud is or who Joe Schmo is or anything like that. But I love the idea of acting, and I definitely felt like I was getting better at it. So I got cast in Zoolander 2 to do a cameo, but I was to be a prison warden. So for anyone out there that saw it, Mugatu, who was the crazy designer from the first Zoolander, he was put in prison in Italy, fashion prison. And I, of course, was supposed to be the prison warden. And I was on roller skates in a ridiculous costume, and I was welcoming Derek Zoolander to the prison because he needed Mugatu for something. But anyway, you don't really realize it because we obviously have a big team that helps us with our production, and we have researchers and we have producers and the whole thing. But movies are insane, and I'd never been in that position before. So there I am, first of all, meeting Ben Stiller for the first time, who is in my scene with me. And at the end of this long tunnel that we shot in sits Will Ferrell watching the playback. And they're both, you know, high-grossing, famous actors that are really great at what they do. Ben Stiller was not only acting but also producing it at the same time. So he was watching everything somehow while still acting. I mean, it was crazy. And then there was this big wall of Italian men that were sound, lighting, all those, you know, crazy people. But it was like 30 people. So I was acting for the first time for all these people. They flew me to Rome. It was a whole big thing. I was obsessed with the idea that I was going to be in Zoolander 2 because I loved the first one. And, you know, they said, you know, you were great. Peace be with you. Will Ferrell was like, Johnny, you did awesome. It's a lot of pressure. Good job. First time, blah, blah, blah. So about 7 months later, like 2 months before they were releasing it, I was in Russia and I got a call, and it was Ben Stiller. And and it was really nice of him to call himself, but he was like, Johnny, we did so many cameos and the movie has to be cut down. So yours is one of those scenes that's getting cut. And I was devastated. I was so angry for a moment. And then I was like, you know what, Ben, it's fine. I was a professional.
Okay.
I was, it's fine. I'm okay. I know I sound like I'm crying, but,
but I'm not.
It's just, you know, I'm so proud of you and I want you to win the box office race, and I'm so happy that I could even just be a small part of it, and it just
I'm so
it just
sad.
Makes I'm so
but
I'm so
happy.
Sad. Can I? I'm in Russia and I'm alone in a hotel, and can I have to hang up now. Thank you so much for calling, Merry Hanukkah. Thank you so much. Goodbye. And then I cried, and it was just I felt so bad. So I'm kind of itching for this acting stuff to come through on the variety show. I want these sketches. I want to really flex my acting muscles.
Uh-huh.
But I'm gonna need your help because you're the pro.
Oh, we'll have fun. I feel like sketches for us is what we do through our Instagram on a daily basis.
Yeah, I mean, that is a sketch.
Right. So
with a Morrow filter.
With a Morrow filter. It's so funny. I don't use a Morrow anymore. Do you use a Morrow a lot?
No.
I
like Clarendon a lot. I like a gingham for an outdoor scene. But usually I have just been...
You were exclusively a Morrow for a long time.
I know, because there's nothing I love more than a plate face, just nostrils and eyelashes. that is still my preferred look for myself. But
Clarendon. That is.
It hits a good place. It hits a good spot. But I've been using this app. It's called Visco, and they have a lot of these not filters, but ways to actually make your picture better
that I enjoy more. But I'm upset because I don't know how to, it seems complicated when I see it, you do this.
It is still complicated. I don't really know how it works, but I just sort of play with it and find a way. But I love it because you can accent the mountains you're standing in front of, or highlight like a little piece of your shoe. So if the lighting of the picture wasn't quite great, you can, for lack of a better term, you can Photoshop it and sort of really pop those details just by running your finger over it. And I like that instead of using a filter, because I think when I was using a Morrow filter all the time, for example,
people couldn't see your face.
People couldn't see my face.
Couldn't see where you were.
But then I would meet people in real life. And you know, I'd be pimply, wrinkly, and sad and not look Amaro filtered. And, you know, it just, there was a whole, like, glorious level of fakeness to it. And
Jenny,
it really upset me.
You know what I started watching?
What?
Food shows. I'm addicted to the Food Network. I don't know what's happened. I love these shows. And I just can't stop watching them.
Despite how tiny you are, you're a great eater.
I am.
And you, I mean, figure skating, we both have had our, you know, weirdness with dieting and stuff because
right.
we had to. But you really take it on the chin. I mean, you really are a great eater and you should applaud yourself.
Thank you.
What shows are your favorite there
on
the Food Network?
I like Chopped.
You know I've done Chopped, right?
I know you have. I wish, mm-hmm. Can you send me that? I'd love to see you on there.
Oh, I don't know how to find it.
I mean, the thing is about these cooking shows is, I feel like I have such an opinion when I'm watching, and I get so, like, upset at certain contestants because I, you know, you don't know which way the judges are going to sort of sway. And mm-hmm. when I'm watching, I'm like, oh, my God, that guy is terrible. Who would put that with this and this with that? While I know nothing about cooking. Like, I can barely scramble eggs. But when I'm watching these shows, I become very, like, judgy of the contestants. And I always have a clear winner that should win. And when they don't win, I get very sad.
Well, we usually are such experts on what we talk about that we do know who's going to win, and we know about that kind of thing. But when you're watching a cooking show, I mean, we can't taste it.
No.
We don't know.
I mean, I'm always so, like, intrigued by these things, like the layer underneath this has to have this acidity to it, and it has to have this, and this punches this out. It's so much. And then you watch these kids do it on Chopped Junior, and you're like, look at you with that knife.
Yeah.
Look at you chop.
The cool thing about Chopped is that it's real life. So any game show that's kind of on TV where there's money at stake, this is, you know, I know you know it already, but I'm just telling the people that it's really serious. There are really like real rules, because some of the monies in game shows are subsidized by the government. So there has to be proper rules, and it has to be played exactly the right way. So when I did Chopped, I wasn't aware of all that. I thought, you know, I'm doing Celebrity Chopped. I will have 3 hours to create something amazing. And I get there, and they're like, you have 15 minutes to make an appetizer out of matzo crackers, spinach, Jell-O, and, you know,
right.
vanilla cupcakes and chicken cutlets, whatever. And I was like, F me. Because I wasn't that great of a cook, and it was sort of right after I was done competing, so all I really ate anyway were small cubes of meat and salad. So essentially the reason that I got outed on the competition was because I made small cubes of meat with salad, but they wanted like some vanilla cupcake coated Korean kimchi chicken, you know, something that pairs well with a sangria or a beer.
I would be terrible. I would just be like, where do I go from here?
It's kind of like the game show tonight. What is it called? That show that we did?
Hollywood Game Night. We're terrible at games, guys. Like
we're
like really bad. They can't win one of them.
but we're so competitive, so it's awful. And I feel like those game shows, they are rigged so that we don't win because we're Olympians and we're, you know, used to winning. We have a shared Olympic gold medal. And I feel like when we go on them, especially when we were separate, when we went on how awful.
No, it's just terrible. Don't want to do that ever.
You idiotically did it twice by yourself. Did
I
you
know?
Not?
And
yeah,
I
only did it once.
I lost a million games.
Handily
all the
lost.
Things I lost.
Professionally lost. I lost all the things. But we went on together. I thought really we were going to have a shot. We were going to have a shot in the dark.
But we didn't.
And we were going to make it. But we didn't.
But we had fun, though.
We had a great time. I feel like those competitive moments are better left to real life. When we go on TV and we have to be competitive, but we aren't necessarily good at the competition, I think we should just sort of stay away from them. I feel like I shouldn't do any more cooking shows, and we should not do.
I should never do a cooking show.
Hollywood Game Night. But, like, what's the most basic thing that you can't cook?
I mean, it's not that I can't cook. It's not like, I mean, I don't know. I haven't really tried. But I feel like, you know, I can make the simple things. You know, I can make pasta or eggs. But, like, if you were to, like, go off of a recipe, like, where you're not, like, following thing by, like, you know, one cup of sugar and one teaspoon of this, like, I wouldn't know where to start
baking.
Or begin.
Yeah, baking just seems horrible to me, the measuring of things, because if it's so not specific, all of a sudden you have, like, a milk muffin.
Right, and also,
it's, like, burnt on the outside.
If I do anything, I like to bake because I do like sweets, but I get very OCD with the measurements. Like,
the
measurements. Like, it's some people are like, oh, just throw in half or something. If I'm cooking with some, like, a friend or something, and they're like, oh, this seems good. I'm like, oh, whoa. If I'm going to do
this. Did you measure that?
Did we measure it completely? You packed it down. You kind of shook it a little bit, and you spread it right off. Like, you sure?
Was that a flat 1/8 tablespoon? I'm the same. I can't bake just because I get too competitive and also way too OCD about it. So I cook, but I cook a lot by taste. But there are some simple things that I have not mastered. I can't hard boil an egg. I do not understand how to do it. They always get messed up somehow, or there's something to it. And I can't do potatoes.
Potatoes?
Yeah, I cannot. I know potatoes are like the thing that you can't mess up, but I somehow always mess them up.
Like a baked potato or mashed potato?
All potatoes, which is kind of great because potatoes just essentially turn to sugar in your belly anyway, and then they give you more of a belly to live in. But, you know, potatoes, I love a French fry. I love a potato when I'm out. I love brown gravy on them and butter, but also a baked mashed potato that has some cheesy goodness in it. I love all that, but I just can't make it. So that's why I was asking, what's the simplest thing that you have trouble with?
The simplest thing? I don't know. I mean, I feel like I don't really cook that much, Johnny.
Just don't try.
I don't try. I gave up. The thing with cooking, it sounds bad that I don't do it, but it's just I'd rather for lunch grab, like, yogurt or make scrambled eggs and a bagel and not go through, like, a long process of getting all – like, sometimes I went through this phase where I was like, okay, I'm going to make, like, salads every – but then by the time I get all the lettuce on and chop the tomatoes and the onions and the blah, like, I'm tired. I'm, like, almost angry by the time I'm eating my salad. I'm just like, this is terrible. And now I have to clean it all up and put it away. And then I realized, oh, my goodness, like, I just spent an hour at the grocery store and it's a week later and all of the things that I bought are dead in the refrigerator. So what was the point?
I'm a big fan
of – should have just had a Milano.
Should have just had a Milano. I'm a big fan of throwing out everything every week because I Windex my salad before I eat it. I love to purchase and throw away, and I feel so wasteful because there are a lot of times that I don't actually eat my things, and I mean there are starving children everywhere, and I just feel terrible about doing it. But I can't do a grocery store run without, you know, restocking everything. Brand new milk, brand new this, brand new that. And that's how I have to do it. I can't. I'm so terrified of somebody coming over, which no one ever does. I'm so terrified of somebody coming over and the home not being perfect, perfectly clean, perfectly spaced, perfectly smelling, you know, the whole thing. But also opening the refrigerator and there's something that's out of date or spoiled. I don't know why it's such a pet peeve, but it is.
Because we're OCD.
Yeah,
guys, we're weird. Okay, guys, we need you to subscribe. It's important.
Subscribe or die. Yeah. Essentially. Essentially. That's where we're at.
Please. Anyways, anything else, Johnny? That's all I got.
No, I mean, everyone, of course, you should subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on Audio Boom and Stitch Radio. And we're super excited that all of those, you know, illustrious brands are carrying the Tara and Johnny podcast. But more importantly, we are so thankful to the 6.2 trillion listeners that we have. You guys listen, but not all of you subscribe, which kind of throws our numbers off a little bit when we're making up beds at Fan Cabin. So I think it's really important that you all subscribe to the podcast. We're always so thankful to do this podcast for you, to entertain you, to make you laugh, make you cry, make you think sometimes.
You know, just make really you ponder your life.
Yeah.
Ponder
at this
your
point,
friendships.
Though, I'd like you all to pimp out your friends, you know, great friend to marry me. And, you know, just all of us can be yentas at the moment and help me find love. But I'm relying on the trillions of you to do that. But we're really thankful for all of you for being with us. You can follow us and interact with us and subscribe to us and love us and, you know, be a part of the Fan Cabin experience with us on our social media platforms at Tara Lipinski, at Johnny G. Weir, at Tara and Johnny. We'd love to see you there. We'd love to talk to you and interact with you. Actually, probably won't talk to you, but we'll make fun of you on the on the podcast. But no, we really do love and appreciate all of you. And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
And until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
I was figuring on taking in a movie tonight, and I was wondering if you and your friend would care to see a movie tonight with me and my friend. Yeah, but what about, well, how about next Saturday night? Are you free next Saturday night? Well, what about the Saturday after that? I got feelings, you know. I had enough pain. No, thanks.
This program is brought to you in living color on NBC. The opening and some non-presentation portions were pre-recorded.